You know I love that organic cooking. I always ask for more. And they call me Mr. Natural on down to the health food store. I only eat good sea salt, white sugar don't touch my lips. And my friends is always begging me to take them on macrobiotic trips. Yes, they are. Oh, but night I take out my strong box that I keep under lock and key. And I take it off to my closet where nobody else can see. I open that door so slowly, take a peek up north and south. Then I pull out a Hostess Twinkie and I pop it in my mouth. Yeah, in the daytime I'm Mr. Natural, just as healthy as I can be. But at night I'm a junk food junkie. Good Lord, have pity on me.
So I don't know if you've been paying attention lately, Derek, but there's an awful lot of really cool stuff happening in the junk food world right now, as we speak.
Wow. I've been paying a little bit of attention here and there on the Facebook group. I know that you've been posting some updates, but if I'm being honest, I've been only paying attention in between me playing rounds of Halls of Torment. When I pick my face up from my Steam Deck, I do see a couple things from you, and then I go right back into it. It's terrible. I haven't done anything with my life for the past 2 months. I do not apologize.
Don't apologize. That's why I'm here. I'm here to cue everybody in. So if you haven't seen, it looks like one of our buddies kind of leaked something from Twitter at @snack_memories. Noticed that some trademarks were just renewed, some stuff like shark bites. Iconic Candies is bringing all kinds of stuff back. We look like we're getting Bubble Jug back. We've got a Squeeze Pop or maybe Ouch Gum maybe in the works. So a lot of really, really fun things coming back. And it kind of got me thinking, maybe it's the perfect time to start talking about junk food we want back.
Got you thinking. Yeah.
Always right. Thinking about this
that,
shit.
That got you thinking. I was going to say, there's like three basic human functions that are inside of you at all times. It's like eat, shit, think about junk food that's been discontinued 30 years ago.
There's a fourth one. You don't want to know what it is.
I don't. If you actually want to know, we'll talk about it on the Patreon.
Sounds great. So anyways, yeah, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking discontinued junk food from our childhood we would love to see come back here today. It's been a while since we've done this. It was like 2 years ago, I think, that we did part one. So think of this as like a part two.
It's kind of wild that our first episode on it could have been that long ago already. Boy, you know what they say, Grimey. The years start coming and they don't stop coming.
Back to the groove and hit the ground running. This box just sold for like $300 too. God damn it. But I got outbid at like 70. That was as much as I was throwing down.
Yeah.
I couldn't touch it.
That's reasonable. Yeah. You already do enough salacious things to make extra money to fund all of this collecting that you do. I fear that you're rear end and your dignity just couldn't take it anymore. You just can't be spending that much on boxes, Grimey. You just can't do it.
There's other holes. All right, so who wants to start this one? Are we flipping a coin?
You want a rock, paper, scissors for it?
Dude, the old rock, paper, scissors. This is going to be great. All right, let's go. Rock,
paper, scissors. Scissor.
Shoot. Scissors?
Oh my God, both throw scissors on a video feed? Stupid.
We did, all right, man.
One more. Ready?
One more? All right.
Rock, paper, scissor, shoot. Paper covers rock. You win. All right. So you want me to go first or do you want to do the honors? I think that means that I go first, right?
Yeah, why don't you go first?
Okay. Boy, do I have a doozy for you to start the show off.
Send us off, brother.
Hi, may I take your order, please?
Big Mac McDLT, a quarter pounder with some cheese, filet of fish, a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a happy meal, McNuggets, tasty golden french fries, regular and larger sizes, salad, chef or garden, or a chicken salad, oriental, big breakfast, egg McMuffin, hot cakes and sausage, maybe biscuits, bacon, egg and cheese and sausage, Danish hash brown, 2 and 4 dessert, hot apple pies and sundaes, 3 varieties of soft serve, cone, 2 kinds of shakes and chocolate, chip cookies, and to drink a Coca-Cola, Diet Coke and orange, drink is riding coffee, decaf, 2 a loaf and milk, also an orange juice. I love McDonald's, good time, great days, and I get this all at one place.
Would you like that to go?
Okay, Grimey. I mean, I think it's safe to say that as long as it's made it into the final cut of the episode, you all knew that you were in for a doozy of an episode right from the get-go, us talking about your holes and your dignity, things of that nature. So I think it's safe to say this episode, shockingly, about junk food might not be for the weak of heart. Okay. And to prove that point, I'd say we should start off with a little light racism. What do you think, Grimey?
Yeah, yeah.
To be clear, we are not the ones perpetuating the racism, at least. It's I just picked a junk food, Grimey. I picked a junk food that I thought was interesting, and we're rolling with it. So if you want to blame anybody, if you get offended listening to this segment, blame good old Mickey D's. That's right, Ronald McDonald, that old turd of a human, clown, alien, whatever he might be. Boy, he was not doing so hot back in 2002 when worldwide McDonald's, specifically, if I'm not mistaken, over in Norway. Is that what I remember reading?
Norway and Denmark.
They released the McAfrica burger.
When you sent this to me, I was kind of blown away. Just by, like, the name alone, I was like, this can't be good. I just can't imagine.
And you throw a Mick in front of a nation, and all of a sudden, things might take a quick turn south. That's all I have to say. And in this instance, they did. They turned just sour. Just twice, believe it or not. Twice.
Yeah, what exactly is the McAfrica? I need to know.
So, the McAfrica, introduced in 2002, and then it was actually brought back one more time in 2008 for the Beijing Olympics, Grimey.
I didn't realize they brought it back.
I will say, if you're going to introduce something like this that's supposed to be worldly, there is no better time to take a stab at it than the Olympics, when it's supposed to be a time of, you know, some competition, but also celebrating the world cultures. So if there ever was a time to maybe try introducing this, the Olympics would have been it the first time. Yeah. However, that wasn't the case.
It seems harmless enough on paper.
Exactly. So the McAfrica sandwich, it contained beef in the form of a McDonald's beef patty, cheese, and tomatoes. Though I did see a photo of it, and it almost looked like they tossed some lettuce on there, too.
I did see that. Yeah. Did.
But the standout feature here was that instead of standard buns, this sandwich was wrapped in pita bread. So instead of buns, they went with pita bread for the top and bottom. McDonald's, and I think this is really where they were starting to dig themselves a little bit of a hole, claimed that it was based upon an authentic African recipe.
Yeah, I read that too. I was like, this sounds like it's based on a very authentic McDonald's recipe.
Sure does. Sure. And listen, I think the allure of this for me, aside from it being pretty darkly funny, some very dark comedy baked in here. We'll get there in a second. But I think this idea is appealing to me as a sandwich. The idea of pita bread at a place like McDonald's, I'm all in. I love a pita. I think a pita is delicious.
Oh, yeah. It's certainly a switch up.
Yeah, and I've read some other bits and bobs on the internet here saying, like, it had Ethiopian spice blend called Berber. I don't really know how to say it, but I've bought it quite a number of times at my local Mediterranean market. They have a lot of different spices and spice blends.
Nice.
It's quite delicious. If they had done something like seasoned the meat with that spice blend, tossed it into a sandwich that I could get at McDonald's, now we're talking. That's a little bit interesting.
Right.
To me, this sort of just sounded like a glorified burger on pita bread.
Oh, yeah, dude, I completely agree. I can't believe that they said that this was an authentic, you know, African recipe. Like, they're just over there in Africa eating Big Macs? Like, what? I'm so confused. Like,
well, and that's sort of where the controversy really comes into play here. copied and pasted off of their wiki page, discontinued McDonald's wiki page. This is, and I quote, "The McAfrica was released in 2002. Just as a major famine was occurring in many African countries."
Yeah.
"The name of the burger was immediately criticized for being grossly insensitive, especially since it was released in Norway, one of the richest nations in the world." So yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, not good publicity.
No, no. If we're talking about what you know, the African people were eating, even now, but I suppose at around that time, during a time of famine, not a great look.
No.
For the clown and cohorts. just come on, man. What are you thinking about, Ray Kroc?
They could have just gave you an empty bag.
You know, that actually would have been a great statement. Just an empty bag, but they take your money and maybe donate it to people who actually need it.
Man, you turned that around pretty good. That was good. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I should be in PR. I really should.
I thought of it all at Derek Self.
All right, Grimy. All of this aside, this controversy, I've got knots in my stomach because, boy, this is.
It's a touchy
we're
one.
Walking a tightrope with it this is, one, man, all yeah, right? Yeah. I have to say, it's not that I necessarily want this sandwich back. I actually ended up picking this whole pick because I was on, as I mentioned, the fandom wiki for discontinued McDonald's items. And we got to one section, and I actually took a screenshot of this the other day, and I sent it to you in the middle of work. It was maybe one of the funniest things I've ever read. And I quote, "The main controversy of this sandwich... Due to the cheap and outsourced ingredients used by some McDonald's chains, customers have reported their penises vibrating unstoppably for 6 to 12 minutes and then fainting." McDonald's has not given an official response for why this has happened.
That just sounds like a benefit, if anything.
I'd be eating them all the time, Grimy. I mean, that sounds like a trip, you know?
Yeah, honey, I'm coming over tonight and I'm going to make me one of them, one of the McAfricas.
You got 12 minutes before I'm on the floor. Call 911.
Yeah, who needs Blue Chew? Fuck that shit.
Remember the time? Just after the war, when those three Swedish nurses invited us for a weekend in Paris. How can I forget? We should have gone.
Coulda, woulda,
shoulda.
Yep.
Josta. Better do the good stuff now.
Josta Soda from 1995 by PepsiCo. Have you heard of this stuff, Derek?
I've heard the little flutterings, but little I flutterings. Myself have never actually had the pleasure of trying a Josta.
Oh man, I've had the pleasure, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But first, I'll describe the drink a little bit. So this was the first major U.S. beverage company produced energy drink, quote unquote. So it was like a soda that had caffeine, and it was also infused with guarana. Awesome bottle. It's like a red bottle with a yellow label, and it has all this very primal rage looking font all over it. And over top of that, it has a black cat, so like a panther. It's a pretty awesome looking bottle.
Oh yeah, and I've seen the bottle and the cans, you know, floating around the internet for years and years and years at this point. And I always think that it looks cool. I think you did a great job describing it as Primal Rage,
dude, like right?
The video game,
yes,
Primal Rage. Mm-hmm. For those of you who might not have made the connection right away, because it does. It's that very. Bright yellow and black contrast where it almost just looks like a traffic sign, and it grabs your attention right away.
Dude, it does. It's a beautiful bottle, beautiful can. They go for quite a bit online anymore these days. It's very hard to find them. They don't pop up often. But anyways, what makes this different from other sodas? So between the caffeine, guarana, there's also kind of like a, I guess it was a Brazilian berry extract. So it's basically a cola, but with kind of a berry hint to it. And I do remember it having that kind of flavor to it. It's very different from anything else that was out on the market at that time in 1995. I have a very funny story about it. It's 1995. I assume it's 1995. It might have been a year or like half a year later. I'm not really quite sure, but I'm 6 years old or seven. I'm in first grade. I'm not really sure if it was the whole school or if it was just my class, but for some reason, looking back nowadays, it kind of seems like we were part of like a test market for Josta.
Oh, okay. All right. You've grabbed my attention here. That's very interesting.
I hadn't really thought about it much until like a couple of years ago when I was searching for this soda again because I do remember. I remember seeing it in Walmart shelves and stuff. But anyhow, we have a PepsiCo in town. Okay, so like not very far away, maybe like 2-3 miles away from the school that I was going at the time. And they bring the soda in and the whole class gets it. We're all drinking this soda. And I remember like the people that were through Pepsi or whatever who delivered it were like, yeah, how do you feel about the soda? Do you like it? Is it good? And I'm like, yeah, this is pretty different. Like I really love the cat on the front. I remember saying that. It's like, this is neat. This is different. It's weird that I'm drinking soda in school. It never really dawned on me until nowadays that like, why the fuck are little kids that are 6 years old getting this soda that's like guarana and caffeine? And it's like, I guess advertised as this like energy soda is really, really bizarre to me.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
A little bit.
I mean... My mom, I think I've mentioned before, was a little overprotective, especially when it came to caffeine.
Okay.
To the point where eventually she started letting me drink Coca-Cola, but they would only let me drink the caffeine-free Coke for a while. They'd go out of their way to buy those gold cans to make sure that I wasn't bouncing off the wall. And eventually, when I did hit middle school, and I would hang out with my friends, she'd give me a few bucks here and there to go, you know, buy a drink or whatever I wanted to. But she would hand me that money with the, you know, the attachment to it that, no, you don't buy energy drinks because that'll kill you. Like, I was actually thinking it was going to make my heart explode. So, no, I couldn't have Red Bull or Monster or NOS or whatever the hell we were drinking at that
right.
point. Because she was so afraid of that, rightfully so. I mean, kids don't really need to be drinking energy drinks. Even at 13, you really don't need to be drinking energy drinks. So the fact that you were in elementary school and not only were they pushing an energy drink, but they were like, so could we make it better so that you could drink more of it? Like, that's insane.
I had a couple of people who I graduated with and people in the area who may have been a grade below me or above me. They told me the same story. They're like, yeah, I remember when this stuff came out. For some reason, we got it in class and we were all asked if we liked it and if it was any good and what we would do different and stuff. And I was like, so it wasn't just my class. A little bit more digging on Reddit. And it seems that there's a lot of people out of the state that like have similar experiences with this stuff. But at least from what I've read, it seems like it was all middle to high schoolers, you know, like the right age demographic, not like little kids, but like everybody that talked to me in my area, they were all like 6, 7, 8 or younger.
That's so wild. And you know what it brings to mind? There's that Christmas episode of The Simpsons where the school ends up getting shut down because they have no funding.
Yeah.
Which is kind of in part due to Bart breaking his ass and the school not being handicap compliant. So either way, the school ends up getting purchased and we find out that it's purchased by a toy company. And so all of these kids, instead of learning, they're just like pitching toy ideas to the toy company. And all the teachers are just execs from this toy company.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel about this whole situation where it's like, were your teachers replaced by PepsiCo reps for a little while there?
Dude, they may have.
The first ever Celebrity Fear Factor, Tuesday on NBC. Think we went easy on these celebrities? Think again. The first ever Celebrity Fear Factor, NBC Tuesday.
All right, Grimey, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, and I'm talking like first, second grade, I've talked about it in the past, but I was a little bit of a chicken. I was afraid of damn near everything. But one of the first things that got me into things that were a little bit more extreme, let's say, maybe a little bit more horror related or just scary in general, was the show Fear Factor.
Okay, yeah, this makes sense.
For me, it was a real great gateway drug, if you will, getting me into some of the more macabre or thrilling, daring things that I'd come to love years later. And back when Joe Rogan was just sort of a normal dude before he was
like an MMA fighter and
yeah, doing some other
hitting mushrooms
things
and stuff.
Yeah, you know, well before that, he was just telling people to eat bugs and screaming because they were jumping cars off of huge ramps, you know, things like that. The good old days, really.
Right, right.
So imagine my shock and surprise when doing research for this episode, when I stumble upon the fact that Fear Factor got its own frozen treat back in 2006.
Oh, and they look so beautiful, too. Like, whatever you're picturing, if you haven't seen them before, it's way off. They're way better than what you're picturing.
Absolutely. You can just Google Fear Factor pop-ups. They were from Popsicle. I know one of our buddies collecting candy posted a really great shot of a full box, I believe, a year ago that pops up on Google Image Search. And if you want something a little bit more authentic, not that his isn't authentic, but I'm talking of the time period, I stumbled across an actual review of these pops on imockery.com. And I'll be sure to link that because this is just a great read. Something from September 25th, 2006. Rog, I hope I'm saying that right and crediting you correctly here. I actually bought a box of these back in September of 2006 and thought to take photos of the box and of the pops themselves and write a short review. So I'll certainly link that because I just think that it's super cool that we're at a point now where we actually have like documented, well-preserved web pages of things that are now considered discontinued and almost vintage junk food.
Yeah, tangible evidence.
Yes, exactly. But this was such a trip to read, and I'm so disappointed. I would have been 12 going on 13 around this time when these were released, and I can't believe I didn't know about these. Or, alternatively, I can't believe if I did know about these, I didn't care about these. You know, because 12-year-olds can be weird.
I was the later experience, for sure. Like, I'm 17 at this point in time. I'm well aware of Fear Factor and Joe Rogan. Clearly, still love ice cream. That never went away. But, like, cruising down the aisles, I remember seeing these in the freezer section and just being like, oh, wow, look at that. That was it. That was my whole experience with these. Now I'm like, you stupid motherfucker. What did you do? Uh-huh. You know, like, why did you not invest in this awesome product? And I love that. Who this? Did you say Raj? Raj, this guy that
Raj,
got to...
Yeah.
Clearly display them on iMockery. Thank you very much. I like that he was able to get them just before Halloween, September 2006. Like, that's what these were meant for, in my opinion. Like, this is a Halloween treat.
Exactly. And before I did any research and I was just looking at pictures of this, I thought to myself, I was like, yeah, that would have been an awesome and still would be an awesome Halloween treat. Just having a very spooky Halloween, and this isn't even spooky, like, this is full-on gore, man. Like, let me describe these pops if you haven't already paused the episode and gone and looked this up. So they came with two different flavors and two different styles in one box. So there was a black colored push pop. Now, again, I want you to think about the old Flintstones push pops, the sorbet sherbet pops. That's basically what these are.
Toilet paper tube.
That's exactly right. So these ones, you know, it's got the yellow and black, like, in your face Fear Factor logo wrapped all around that toilet paper tube. And like I mentioned, we have a black colored one. So it's black sour watermelon with a red sour lemon flavored blood, quote unquote, slime. So they basically have this big red drippy blood puddle that drips down the side of the push pop itself.
Yeah.
That's goth as hell. That's fucking sick as hell.
It looks so good. Like, the only thing that's more goth than this is the Vampire's Deadly Secret bars from back in the day, and it so resembles that, like, so much, but, like, in a push pop. I wouldn't be surprised if they would have just slapped Dracula over top of it at some point in time, but, like, it never happened.
Never happened. And then the other one in the box that you would get, it was a green sour cherry sorbet with red lemon blood slime, just the same as on the black watermelon one. But this one actually had a gumball eyeball or they all did, but it was supposed to be sort of seated at the top of it. So when you would open it up initially, it looked like an eyeball was staring up at you mm-hmm. as you were about to eat this pop. Unfortunately, iMockery shows that, you know, that's better in idea than in practice, because it never actually works out that way. The photos that he uploaded said, you know, the gumball is kind of buried under the bottom layer, so you don't really get the eyeball looking at you the way that you wanted to, and the blood wasn't as much as it could have been. But just the idea that something this grotesque existed around Halloween time, I can't believe that this isn't something that isn't celebrated as much as other Halloween treats and goodies, like the Munster's Hostess Cakes.
Yeah, or, totally.
I don't know, insert every other Halloween treat that we talk about all the time here.
They're absolutely beautiful, and I love like the green ones. They just kind of look like toxic sludge. They're that vibrant in color. They just look amazing.
Super, super bright green. Unfortunately, I think this was just the tail end of when they were still allowing things to be, you know,
playful,
colored. Yeah, exactly. Colorful and colored with things that are probably toxic to us.
Yeah.
Because after this, there's a sharp drop off, you know, Trix cereal and Fruit Loops and all that mm-hmm. stuff. It switched over to the natural dyes that are much more muted than what we were getting at that time. So this was like a last big hurrah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This was the bitter end. And they were like, you know what? Fuck you. We're going out with a bang. And they did, man.
Damn right. Now, the only thing I can think that this wasn't or isn't as celebrated as some of the other Halloween treats is because there was no actual Halloween branding on this.
Right.
Obviously, it was Fear Factor through and through. So it still had that tie. Mm-hmm. But man, if you ripped that Fear Factor logo off of this and you threw a, you know, a scary Halloween scene behind it,
some bats or
there's
something.
There's no reason these couldn't come back year after year and that people wouldn't like love these the way that they love the monster cereals.
In case you haven't noticed, something crazy's going on. Peanut butter's gone boppers, and you can tag along. Creamy peanut butter in a way you've never seen. Wow. Peanut butter boppers are a peanut butter dream. Dressed up in crispy coatings, crunchy cookies, fudgy chips, headed straight for crazy. It's a real short trip. Peanut butter boppers, they're like nothing you've known. Everybody's gone boppers.
One thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach, all the damn peanut butter boppers.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I don't think that's how that quote goes.
It's close enough.
Well, all right. Sure. I'll give you this one.
So 1985 was the launch of peanut butter boppers. They were discontinued in 1989, which means neither of us got to try them. I'm pretty bummed about
it. Not even close. Yeah. Not even close. Didn't even know that they existed, if I'm being honest with you.
Which, I mean, it really sucks because these look like they're pretty good. And probably pretty easy thing to bring back nowadays, which might be the case. I mentioned earlier that our friend over there at Discontinued Foods on Twitter may have mentioned something about some renewal of licenses. This is one of those products that may or may not be coming back, but the trademark was renewed. So pats on the back for Discontinued Foods. Thank you for finding that knowledge out.
Yeah. Well, that sounds interesting. I would certainly buy a box and stuff them in my freezer just to get that full experience. You know, listen, I just want to tell you that my friends who are not you, call me Grampy, because I don't often like to leave the house, and I like to go to bed early, on time.
Use Windex for spray?
Right, exactly, for my blemishes on my skin. So listen, I'm living the grandfather life is the point that I'm trying to make. So I think to complete that and fully morph into that stage and be fully accepted as a grandpa, I need to go full Lost Boys and have some peanut butter boppers in my freezer. So this is an exciting prospect for me that maybe that could happen.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So if anyone's wondering, if you look closely in Grandpa's freezer in the Lost Boys, peanut butter boppers can clearly be seen. And man, do they look beautiful in that freezer right next to that very old school mint Oreo packaging. But I digress. If you haven't seen peanut butter boppers before, it's basically like a wad of creamy peanut butter that is then dredged in chocolate and covered in various toppings and goodies like peanuts, rice cereal, maybe granola, crunchy cookie pieces, chocolate chips, or any combination of each. Look pretty amazing, especially in their nice little black boxes. They kind of have this like 50s style artwork, and it's kind of like a jukebox almost, very neon and pretty as motherfucker.
Now, here's the thing. So, I mean, I certainly wasn't around for these, and neither were you. No. But I feel like I've already had these. Like, I feel like I've eaten these in the past. Grimy, were you into the Reese's Fast Break bars at all when those came out?
I could see the connection there. Yeah, it was just... looks similar anyways. I have a feeling that it might be a little looser than something like that. Like maybe not as hard, but yeah, I think you're on the right track there.
Maybe. You might be right about that, you know, and who knows? Neither of us. So I suppose if you're listening and you did have the great fortune of eating a peanut butter popper back in the day, and you've also managed to try Reese's Fast Break bar, I'd love for you to write in, send us a DM, something, and let us know if that comparison is accurate or if, like, we are way off there. Or by we, I mean me, if I'm way off there. But listen, if it's even as good as a Reese's Fast Break bar, I would be all over them. But I feel like it's probably better. And I'm assuming it could probably go above and beyond simply because they've got different toppings that it's rolled in, something that the Fast Break bars don't offer. You're telling me I could have like Oreo cookie pieces rolled around top of a Reese's Fast Break? Hello, I'm there. It sounds amazing.
And if you think that you couldn't make them at home, you're wrong. There's a website. I did it. I'm not going to link to the website. I ate one and threw 20 of them out.
So, like, first of all, I will say you did make them. I think we posted it on the Patreon.
It was on the Patreon.
You wrote an article?
Yeah. So it's a General Mills website. It's their official copycat recipe of their own product. So I don't know what that means. If that means it's not exactly the same. The way I made them wasn't great. So.
But what I was going to say is, like, you made them. You took pictures. They actually looked very beautiful. Like,
they did.
They looked good.
Well, I took my time, you know. I really wanted these to look great for a picture opportunity. But I'll tell you what, no matter how you slice it, it still looks like a piece of shit rolled in cookies. Still looks like a little turd.
Yeah, but it looks like a turd that I'd willingly eat.
Right, yeah. Like the best turd that you could ever eat.
Right, because there's a lot of turds that I would not be willing to eat. And luckily, I've never been forced to eat a piece of shit for breakfast, but if I had to be, these would be the pieces of shit that I would want to eat for breakfast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Shooter McGavin. Totally get it.
Exactly. What you get? Get sprinklings.
What you get? Dannon's Sprinklings. A surprise in every cup. You never know till you flip your lid. Sprinklings. Now, flip your lid these two cool ways. Surprise and sprinkles, changing colors. Sprinklings. What'd you get?
Hey, Grimy.
Hey, Derek.
What'd you get?
Oh, this one's powder.
That's what you got?
That's what I got. What did you get?
Oh, I got the Rainbow Jimmies.
Ooh.
Which...
it's the best one.
I'm not really a fan of. You want to trade or...
Oh, yeah. I'm down to clown. Yeah, I need those ones. Right, I don't even want this powder bullshit. What are we fucking talking about here?
Well, we're talking about yogurt. I mean, the most desirable of all junk food, if I do say most. Wait a minute. Is it junk food? Technically, this is a junk food show. Am I allowed to bring up yogurt?
Yeah, I think so, because this is more or less the only way half of the kids out there would eat yogurt in the 90s. And it's not all that healthy for you, really.
That's true. We're, of course, talking about the Dannon Sprinklings line of yogurts. And This barely qualifies as any form of a health food, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you get when you take a yogurt that's not a particularly healthy yogurt to start, and then you say, hey, kids, are you bored with yogurt? Would you like to throw some sprinkles in there to jazz it up?
I mean, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, I mean, it is what they did. And I'm sorry, I apologize, because I just called them sprinkles. Grimy, they weren't sprinkles. They were mystery mix-ins.
I mean, you could get full packs of just sprinkles, but like eventually came the mystery mix-ins, and that was a whole spiel of its own.
Yeah, well, and I'm a little bit biased, but that was definitely what I was finding in my lunchbox a lot.
Okay.
The mystery mix-ins line of the sprinklings.
See, I got the sprinkles the most, which was fine with me.
And it's funny because I looked it up and it looks like these existed from 1995, somewhere around there, maybe a slightly earlier, to around 2001. But it looks like there's just a lot of different versions of the sprinklings yogurt. Because not only were the mystery mix-ins big with me, you're talking about just the standard sprinklings, which was just regular old sprinkles in different forms, be it the jimmies or the little confetti looking ones or whatever it might have been. And I also found some ones earlier than that that were like little graham cracker pieces that I never experienced.
Yep. There was one time I got the graham crackers, whatever the hell it was, and I was like, this ain't it. Give me back my sprinkles. I was a big fan of them once.
You know, that was a really big thing when I was super young and in elementary school, were graham cracker, like, everything. Big graham cracker was shoving that shit down our throats. And I was like, hey, enough. And I didn't really want to mix it in with my yogurt. So I'm glad that I wasn't eating yogurt at that point, because I probably would have hated it, if I'm being honest.
So I got to ask, which one's your favorite?
Well, I'm biased based off of the one that I was eating the most, which was the mystery mix-ins. In the mystery mix-ins, man, that is so difficult to say. I keep getting caught up when I'm going to say it. But those were really cool, because the whole point was you would pull that plastic lid off. And if you watch the commercial, the kids shake it around like it's a maraca, trying to listen for what they got in there. Like, what could this be? This could be anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'd pull off that cover, and then on the inside of that cover, there would be a little foil lid with a big question mark printed on it. Like, ooh, what could it be? Leading to an air of mystery. And then you'd open it up, and it would be a number of different ones. But more often than not, you would open it up, and it would be what you had mentioned at the top of this segment, the powder. That magical changing powder. It was sort of a little bit like sugar crystals.
Right.
Not really sprinkles per se, but you dump that in your yogurt and it would turn it some bright color.
Oh, we were all about the colors back in the day. Anything that could be dyed something really, really strange and, you know, color our shit a different color. That we will love that stuff, you know? Still love it.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I'm looking at my notes here and that was something that I noted. I was like, why did we love things that changed color so much at that point? I looked for some other examples too. I mean, there were Kool-Aid magic twists, which I'm sure you've got a stack of those right next to you right now.
Oh, there's somewhere in here.
But the color changing Kool-Aid. Do you remember these? The Cheetos Twisted Star Wars edition?
I do.
It
remember
was either
that.
For Star Wars Episode 2 or 3, something like that. But the Cheetos twists, they would either turn your tongue Yoda green or Darth Vader black.
Oh, yeah. There's a number of things, man. Fun dip.
Fun dip. That's right. We really loved the color change and stuff back then. And it's funny, because the other day I was, you know, reading through, I was bored, a bunch of different articles popping up for me. And this one headline kind of made me laugh, because the headline said, why are younger people getting cancer more frequently? It used to be an old person's disease. And I was like, yeah, has nothing to do with all of the color changing shit that we ate when we were 10, right? No, not related at all. Not linked.
No, couldn't be.
Going back to the core question that you had asked, I loved the color changing. That was probably my favorite. And so while there wasn't a ton of actual sprinkle action happening with that one. I ate it up. What about you? Nice. It sounds like you weren't the color changing guy.
No, I actually don't remember having the color changing powder like ever. Like I said, there was one time where I got one that had the graham cracker crumbles in it, and I was like, I don't really care for this. It had to be the sprinkles or bust, man. Like I needed the sprinkles in there. I needed my fix. Whatever you want to call them, Jimmy's sprinkles. That's what I needed. There was just something about the way that these things would kind of like almost melt and disintegrate in this yogurt. Like the colors would just kind of vanish really quick, and you would just be left with these little white speckles that kind of, they softened over time being in that yogurt like pretty quickly. And it just, there was a weird kind of texture thing in there too that I really enjoyed. And I know that it's super simple. You can do it right now if you wanted to. We have the same exact yogurt out there right now, just without the mix-ins. And I'm not going to do that though. I'm going to need them to fully commit and market it.
Now, we do still have yogurt on the shelves that are like in line with this. Specifically that Yo Crunch line. I can't believe that that's stuck around as long as it has, because that used to also be a favorite of mine. Same deal, the lids popped off, little foil packaging, and then you'd either get, you know, pieces of Twix or mini M&Ms or maybe some Chips Ahoy cookie crumbles in there or Oreo cookie crumbles on the top. And if I'm not mistaken in my research, it led me to believe that after the actual Sprinklins line was discontinued, like it became an offering through the Yo Crunch line. Like, so it actually existed a little bit past when it was supposedly discontinued, just in another line of yogurt. That's basically all I could find on it. But yeah, it would be so easy to bring this line back, and they'd probably get so many sales on it. Just like, it's not healthy, but neither is the current Yo Crunch line or the Chobani Flip Cup line, you know, with the mix-ins and everything. Like, it still exists. It's kind of mind-boggling that they don't just put, like, 3 cents worth of sprinkles in one of those lids, slap that old logo on it, and start selling them again.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be easy. I mean, nostalgia sells. And case in point, I'm buying them. I'm sure you're buying them. Just, you want our money, we will give you it.
It's free for the taking at this point.
Flat. Add some pop with new Sodalicious, the soda pop fruit snacks with the tingly soda sensation.
So delicious.
Woo! So delicious fruit snacks in So Delicious soda flavors like cherry cola and root beer. New So Delicious fruit snacks.
Because life without it.
We're taking a trip back to 1991 with the release of So Delicious fruit snacks. Get it? So Delicious.
Oh my god! I didn't realize that you had sent these to me, and I was like, "Yeah, so delicious, right? Exactly, so delicious. Yep. Wow, that just all clicked for me. That's some great marketing, is what that is.
Absolutely genius marketing. Fruit snacks, basically pretending to be soda. Is it soda or is it pop for you? You know, us in PA, we love pop, but I say soda because that's just it feels.
You should continue to say soda.
Oh, I will. Pop, I always will.
It's gotta go. Yeah. It's just, it's terrible vernacular. Mm-hmm. It's too simple, you know? Pop is too confusing, especially to people who don't frequently use or hear that term. Like, I'll hear people say pop, and I'm like, the fuck are you talking about, pop? Right. Oh, you mean soda? You know what I mean? Soda is just like, universally accepted term at this point. So, I mean, listen. I respect you if you want to say it, but you need to, like we're speaking a different language, accept that I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, I'm going to throw you a curveball here. Tonic.
Well, I mean, like, with, like, quinine, like, tonic water.
Oh, no, man, there's some people that refer to soda as tonic.
Oh, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. No.
Okay, thank you. All right.
No.
So we're sticking with soda is what we're trying to say here.
yeah.
So in 1991, there's not a terrible amount of soda flavored things, right? Aside from maybe bottle caps, I want to say. That's probably like one of the only soda flavored candies or things marketed for kids at that time. So this just seems like such a genius idea. They're little gummies are either in the shape of a bottle or they're in the shape of like a foamy mug, you know, like a root beer mug. And they came out with flavors like root beer, orange, grape, cherry, cola, soda-esque flavors, obviously. The real kicker here, though, is that they were coated in like the sugary substance that kind of gave like a fizzy sensation when you ate them. So it really mimicked that soda experience, I guess. And this is where us food nerds come out and we say, yeah, you know, so you got your chewy and you got your fruity or your soda flavor, and then you got the fizziness. It's this really awesome, genuine experience that's happening, and it's what makes something like this work so well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I hadn't actually heard of these until you picked them for this episode. So You sent me the commercial to watch, and I gave it a watch, and that was definitely the first thing that popped to mind. Was you had mentioned the Wonka bottle caps. That was definitely what I had the most as a kid as soda flavored things goes. But these seemed really cool, just like taking bottle caps and giving it a different texture, you know. Let's go for the gummy instead of the, you know, the hard candy, or the powdery hard candy, I should say. Definitely seems really cool. Like, what if my Scooby-Doo gummies fizzed when I ate them? You know, that's
very
that would have sold me as a kid.
Well, what sold me even more was later, and I think 1992, when they teamed up with 7-Up, they were mixed in with the regular fruit and soda gummies, but you could either get some regular 7-Up or cherry 7-Up. I'm never going to say no to little cool spots jumping around on a box of these things. Like, they're so good.
Yeah. It's crazy how good 7-Up was at marketing back then and how much they've fallen off the face of the earth.
Oh, like, man, totally.
7-Up still exists, but I mean, it's a nursing home soda at this point, you know.
Yeah,
they've got their install base and they're not concerned with getting any new drinkers of it. Like, I feel like 7-Up is going to fade out at some point over the next 20 or 30 years, simply because they're not trying to capture any part of the market anymore. Not like they were at this point when it's like, hey, here's this cool new fruit snack. We want to be a part of it. Kids might not think of 7-Up as being like their first line of, you know, first choice of soda, but maybe they will if we do this little collab.
I mean, it worked on me. I know that. And like, I know how your folks were with soda. Like, they were kind of a little pickier about you guys having it. And I won't say that mine weren't. I'll say that we were allowed to more often than not. But we were still supervised with it, unless we were at school getting free soda. It was pretty cool, you know. Josta. But yeah, I think that's what made this even better was that, like, you know, kids really aren't supposed to have soda. But like, this is for kids. And it clearly has a soda mascot on the front. So like, it's a win-win.
I think the funniest thing about this, though, is like, soda, it's not for kids. So let's make these sugary snacks.
Yeah.
These are totally for kids.
Perhaps worse. Like, yeah, totally.
Probably the same amount of sugar, if not more, in these treats than there was in an actual can of soda.
Squeeze it, fruit drink. Squeezable characters are so much fun. You'll really get into them.
Now say cheese.
So why not squeeze a little fun into your face? Squeeze it, fruit drink. Squeeze.
All right, here's my last pick of the show. Okay, Grimy. We're it's a love letter now to what was probably my favorite juice, at least for a while when I was growing up. I know that you were and still are a Kool-Aid guy, but I've always had a love-hate thing going on with Kool-Aid. Not so much hate, but love, with Kool-Aid. You know, there are some flavors that I definitely love, and then there are other flavors that I'm like, eh, I don't really care about that. And when we're talking about certain releases of Kool-Aid, like the Kool-Aid Bursts, I've always been more on the meh side of things with it. That can't be said the same for my one true love, my pride and joy, the long-lost Squeeze-Its, which debuted in 1985 and initially lasted until 2001. This to me, and I don't want to call it a juice because it is certainly not a juice. It is a juice-flavored drink. Yeah. Man, I loved these things.
It's liquid candy. I mean, and it's 80s/90s kid gold. It's a very rare thing to find in the market nowadays on, like, say, eBay or Mercari or wherever you're looking for these little things at. Yeah, people loved this. And, I mean, me included. This obviously came before Kool-Aid Bursts, which I'm the same as you. I wasn't really a big fan of the Bursts. I appreciate them. They're there. Great. Give me my goddamn Squeeze-Its. Like, seriously, Squeeze-Its was where it's at.
Squeeze-Its did everything right from the perspective of being something that kids would want.
Oh, totally, man.
Right off the bat, I always felt this, that Squeeze-Its felt like an upscale version of the Hug Barrels.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. At the time, there were so many of these different things, I felt like. Like, we had the Mondo drinks, which were, you know, they were fine. They had a little pull top, and then we later got the Burst and stuff. But, like, how many of them were anthropomorphic fucking bottles that you drank?
Exactly. And I also want to point out, I did love Mondo's as well. It was like a neck and neck tie between Squeeze-Its and Mondo's. And then Kool-Aid was always way below that, Kool-Aid Bursts.
Yeah.
But it's funny because my family almost treated the Kool-Aid like it was healthier for you than these other two. It's all the same sugar water. It didn't make a difference. And I almost wish that, you know, how everybody says, if I could travel back in time, you know, would you kill baby Hitler? Would you whatever, prevent 9/11? No, I would travel back in time with modern nutrition, facts and spreadsheets and show them to my mom and be like, you can actually let Derek drink all the Squeeze-Its he wants because they're comparable in price and it's not like they're any worse than Kool-Aid is for the kids.
Right, yeah.
That's how I would waste my trip back in time, if anybody is wondering.
Totally. Yeah, we're not going back to talk to McDonald's and tell them what a poor marketing strategy McAfrica burgers are, but we'll definitely buy ourselves a couple of Squeeze-Its.
You're damn right. So the thing about Squeeze-Its, aside from the fact that I just think flavor-wise it was better, you mentioned it.
Yeah.
The bottles themselves were all sculpted, and each flavor had a different sculpt. So if you go back and you watch, there's a commercial from 1993. I mean, there are many commercials, but specifically go on YouTube and search up Squeeze-Its commercial and look for the ones that say 1993. They were just knocking this out of the park when they were trying to advertise to kids.
Totally.
And honestly, I think that this was probably the first instance where, like, advertising really worked on me as a kid, because I remember watching these commercials, like all of the commercials for Squeeze-Its, and using that as a bargaining chip for my parents, my grandparents, being like, pointing at the TV, I want this. This is what I want. I'm obsessed with this. Because those commercials, they were all animated, and they treated each of the flavors like it was its own, I'll say, like seven dwarfs. You know, had their own personality, unique look about them. They're all fully animated. And this particular 1993 commercial, it was a mix of live action and animation. So it's very Roger Rabbit, both in just the fact that it's a mixture of live action and animation, and just the animation looks very Roger Rabbit.
It does.
It's perfect to rope kids in.
Yeah, it worked. Back to the Kool-Aid thing. I think where something like this shines and Kool-Aid doesn't, by the way, I feel like it's because we could get Kool-Aid in regular powdered form already. If you wanted to squeeze it, you had to get the Squeeze-It. Like, they didn't make Squeeze-It juice that you could just cook up on your own, you know, a thing of fucking sugar and water. Like, this was the only form, and I mean, infinitely just more fun.
Oh, definitely. Way more fun. And I mean, listen, all of these flavors had their own names and their own characters, like I mentioned. So you had Chucklin' Cherry, Berry Be Wild, Grumpy Grape, which apparently was later changed to Gallopin' Grape, Silly Billy Strawberry, Rockin' Red Puncher, Mean Green Puncher, Smarty Arty Orange, that guy sucks probably, Troppy Tropical Punch. And in addition to all of that, they had mystery flavors, because that was another thing that they loved to do back then, was introduce mystery flavors. And those mystery flavors came in black bottles. So you didn't know what the flavor was, but you could probably see the character a lot better because it was just a fully formed, you know, not see-through, not transparent bottle. So
yeah,
super cool, man.
Yeah, they had a lot of cool little gimmicks. Like earlier you mentioned the little capsule that you drop in so that you could change the color of the drink. I don't know if it did anything beyond that. I remember having them, but I don't remember like what it tasted like or anything like that. I just remember doing the thing and just being like, oh wow, this is neat. I just want to drink this fucking liquid sugar. That's all I want.
We were just talking about how colored food and color changing foods were like the fad. This one is super weird because it would never happen today. Even if they found a safe way to change the color, the fact that they did color changing Squeeze-Its, but the way that you changed the color is they basically packed in like a set of pills.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like into the package, and you would have to rip the top off like you do with a Kool-Aid burst, and then your parent or whoever would give you this little pill that you would shove through the drinking hole, and then that would change the color of the drink. Like, that just would not go over well.
No,
like
it,
that just would not. And I think I actually remember my mom being very sketched out by that. Like, she bought them and didn't like me changing the color because she was like, I don't know about this.
She was having flashbacks from Jilly taking her grandpa's fucking heart medicine. I was like, wait a minute, wait. Yeah, yeah. What do you got? You got pills there? Is that what you got, pills?
Oh, hold on. And listen, so I did find a fun post of somebody else reminiscing about these on Reddit, and I decided to screenshot one response to this because it made me laugh out loud. So first of all, the first funny bit about this is that the user who posted this, their name on Reddit was LOL Penis 30. So
that's already off to a great start.
So LOL Penis 30 posted a year ago on Reddit, I have a vivid memory of being briefly unsupervised and drinking three of these, and then projectile vomiting on my neighbor's tree. Painted it red. Good times.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, talking about all of the food dyes and colored foods back then, that's horrifying, you know? Projectile vomiting, just red. What was his name? Chucklin' Cherry. Just puking Chucklin' Cherry's guts all over your neighbor's tree. That's a core memory right there.
Did you have a favorite one before we end this? Like, do you have a favorite character?
Well, I always remember gravitating towards the black bottle, simply because I thought black bottles were cool.
It is cool, man. It's a really awesome gimmick.
But I think I'd also have to go Mean Green Puncher. Again, simply thinking, it looks cool. Like, in all the promo materials that you can still find, cool as hell.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's one of the ones that has, like, the boxing gloves, right? He's, like, punching and stuff. Yep. Yeah, dude. That's the one I gravitated to as well.
The Rocky of juice sort of drinks.
Hell yeah.
Next stop, Laffy Taffy. Each chewy piece is exactly 50% Laffy and 50% Taffy. Or is it the other way around? Here's where we get the jokes that appear on every wrapper.
Well, what about you, Maggie?
Of course, we sniff out the bad ones first.
Bad joke, bad joke.
And only jokes of the highest quality make it to the punchline.
Bad joke, bad joke.
Not the share.
Laffy Taffy from Wonka.
Funny Laffy.
All right, this one's going to be kind of confusing. I know that this is out still, and I couldn't find a lot of info on it, like where it happened, when it stopped, or any of this stuff. But I'm just going to come out and say it. Watermelon taffy with seeds in the middle. Y'all know what I'm talking about here?
Well, I believe you're talking about Laffy Taffy.
Yes. So Wonka Wally Watermelon Laffy Taffy with seeds. There was a version that came kind of a little bit later after they discontinued the whole seed thing, kept the artwork, and they just didn't have the seeds in them. People like me and my mother, who, you know, we both frequently would get these things anytime we go to like a Rite Aid or a CVS or whatever, pick up a prescription or something, we would be over there at the candy aisle getting a Laffy Taffy with the watermelon seeds in them. It was one of them things that we always got for some reason. We would share one or whatever. And man, I haven't been the same to this day. Seriously.
I do not share the same fond memories of Laffy Taffy watermelon with seeds. I actually share an opposite memory.
You weren't a fan.
No, I remember my aunt actually, specifically remember this, her bringing me one of these when I was being babysat by my grandmother, and she handed it to me, and I remember her making a big deal out of it because she really loved Willy Wonka, like just as a property. Loved the movie, loved, you know, the candy, everything about it. So I remember her bringing these to me, the watermelon with the seeds, and being like, oh, it's great, and it's got seeds. And that, first of all, freaked me out because at this stage of my life, I had the Rugrats episode of Seeds burned into my brain, thinking that if you swallowed a seed, that's it. You're basically a pumpkin patch. You're going to die. So that was the start of it. But I remember really not being into the flavor at all. And I can't remember how the seeds were. Was it like chocolate or what was it in there?
And that's the weird thing about it for me is that I remember there being like kind of a texture difference. All right. But as far as flavor goes, there wasn't really any flavor. I'm assuming that they're flavored exactly the same way as the taffy was. So there was very, very little difference in flavor or anything happening there. It's more just a texture thing and just barely a texture thing. I don't know why I'm so up in arms about this other than just, you know, it's a cozy feeling remembering the thought of having these things. And like, it's not just me. A lot of people seem to really genuinely want these back. But like, there's very subtle differences when it comes to this candy. They still make this flavor of taffy out there. They just don't put the seeds in it, obviously. I don't know if you're really a taffy guy to begin with. I'm not necessarily.
Airheads is a taffy, but a kind of a weird taffy.
Yeah, I agree.
I definitely like it. And listen, I actually do quite like Laffy Taffy, some flavors more than others. The one that I always gravitate towards that freaks people out is the banana Laffy Taffy.
Oh, that's my good favorite stuff. I love banana Laffy Taffy.
Most people I talk to hate banana Laffy Taffy. They think it's like the devil's candy, and really? I don't agree. Yeah, I think it's probably the best flavor.
I feel like a lot of people feel that way with banana, artificial banana flavored things like Runts. I feel like people hate those, but like, give me a fucking bag of artificial flavored banana Runts all day long.
I agree. Same here. But, you know, I'm kind of glad that this is sort of taking on a more broad discussion about Wonka candies, because Wonka, I feel, has been a little bit neglected over the past, let's say, decade. So first and foremost, let's just quickly focus on this old version of Laffy Taffy that you're talking about, because at some point they changed the wrappers and the worse.
Absolutely.
All of these Laffy Taffys had their own like little monster mascots, each flavor.
Yeah.
And amazing, by the way. I love them. Like, I don't really know what it has to do with Wonka, like the Wonkaverse, other than vaguely weird and Roald Dahl-esque, I guess, but it sort of fit the vibe of a Wonka candy, and I kind of miss them.
Yeah, it does. And on top of that, it goes back to what we were saying about Squeeze-Its. Like, you throw like a different, you know, a uniqueness or like a different ego towards every one of these characters. It's a kind of a Snow White Seven Dwarfs kind of thing. Like, it's just low-hanging fruit, I feel like, for a kids to just grab. Like, this is something special. It makes it that much more unique and much more special. And I mean, you look at the rappers today and they're just kind of like, what's going on? This isn't Wonka.
Absolutely. It's a little too safe, a little too boring for something as unsafe and crazy as Wonka or what Wonka is supposed to be. So kind of doing the whole property a disservice by cutting down and cutting back on a lot of candy from the Wonka line, getting rid of things like these crazy mascots for, you know, Laffy Taffy or whatever it might be. And I mean, just other stuff. I know I've mentioned it in the past before, but like the Wonka bar, when that Johnny Depp version of the movie came out was so delicious. That was like one of like my favorite things ever. I know I've talked about this on a previous episode.
Oh man, reminisce.
But that Wonka bar was so friggin' tasty. And the fact that there isn't even like a Wonka bar on the market right now is kind of stupid, especially because we just had a brand new Wonka movie and they didn't even roll out any candy for it, which is just
nothing much. I think we had some gummy hats or something like that. Did you happen to see the gummy hats? I thought that was kind of lame.
Yes, Wonka, famous chocolatier. Let's roll out some non-chocolate candies for it to tie in.
Yeah.
Fucking bozos. You people at WB or Nestle or whoever's in charge, hire the two of us. We'll get you out of this slump.
Yeah, absolutely. So to end this little segment here, I you didn't like this stuff then, right? You weren't a big fan?
Wasn't a big fan, but again, I was a kid and my taste buds hadn't fully formed, so maybe I would appreciate it more as an adult. I'm sure that I would.
Okay, so I'm actually right here right now going to time travel. I got me one right here. Look at this.
Oh, what the heck?
This is something I purchased on my own. This was on, it was in an Etsy shop. 90s Kids Candy on Etsy. And you can reach them at 90skidscandy@gmail.com if you feel fit to. They actually make their own version of this watermelon taffy with seeds in them. It's actually called right here on the logo. It says watermelon taffy with seeds. I paid quite a bit for this one thing of taffy. I mean, like, I want to say it was almost $10 with shipping. I'm going to see if it was worth it. See if it's, you know, resembles anything like this.
Yeah, while you're taking a bite, I'm looking at their shot. This is not a plug, by the way. No, it's not.
I have no idea who these people are. And I'm not going to link in the description. You find them on your own. Do what you need to do.
Absolutely. I'm looking. They offer like the cherry taffy that with has the sprinkles, which used to be a thing. And the banana split taffy with sprinkles as well. That's pretty cool. Yeah, man. This is pretty rad. All right. Do your taste test. Let's see.
I'm still opening. It's like a vacuum sealed bag, so it's like stuck to the bag almost. But yeah, it's got them seeds in there. Cool. Wow. I mean, it feels like the same texture. Oh, one of the seeds just went flying. Oh my god, it smells exactly the same.
Oh, taking a big old bite. He's gonna be chewing for about 3 days. Oh, he's nodding his head. His eyebrows are going up. He's smiling.
Oh, yeah.
The corners of his mouth are going.
Yep. It's good, man. That's it.
So how are the seeds?
So I'm taking one out right here just to try it.
Ooh, that's got a crunch to it.
It's a little crispy, a little crunchy, yeah. The seeds are a little bit different. They are, you obviously can't see them if you're listening, but they're a little more polished than I remember them being. The other ones, I feel like they were a little more chalky on the outside. This is a very, almost a crispier kind of crunch, where the other ones didn't quite, they kind of had more of like a chalky crunch to them, which I really liked.
But so a little bit, kind of like a Rice Krispin, or?
No, it almost felt like it had the consistency of a chocolate, but not a chocolate. You know?
Interesting. So chocolate, but not really a chocolate, like basically any of the stuff that Frankfurt makes, or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the bunnies and stuff, yeah. Yeah. The not chocolate items. No, this is pretty close, though. Like, the flavor is spot on. It's there. A good shoo-in for the real deal, I'd say. I would be a lot happier if the monsters were back all over it, but obviously that's not going to happen. This is your next best thing. If you feel like spending a $10... you go right ahead. If not, cool.
A glowing endorsement for 90s kids candy by Grimy.
Yeah.
Welcome to the only Taffy-powered roller coaster in the world. The more you chew Laffy Taffy, the longer you go. And long-lasting Laffy Taffy, you can really...
I had a lot of fun going back in time and reminiscing about old snacks that we would love to come back.
I sure did as well, Grimy. Despite there being a slight bit of racism at the top of the show and... I think we fared this storm pretty well, despite some of the things that I've chosen to talk about here.
The best it could be, the best it's ever going to be. So
that's true. That's true.
Anyways, if you found this show from our post, why don't you go ahead and tell us what kind of candy or what kind of snack or fast food item you might want to come back. We're always interested to hear what you guys have to say. Give us those comments. Maybe we'll reply. Maybe we'll feature them in the next one. With all that being said, if you enjoy what you've been listening to and you dig what you just heard, make sure you check us out on all of our social media platforms.
Yeah, you can find us over, as always, on Instagram at Leftover Pizza Podcast, as well as their newer Twitter competitor, Threads. Same username over there.
You could also find us over on Twitter. It is at LFTOVR Pizza Club.
And speaking of Leftover Pizza Club, you can join our Facebook group, which is called the Leftover Pizza Club. It's a nice little community. You can come hang and meet with other like-minded people, chat a little bit. And while you're on Facebook, you might as well just check out our Facebook page and give that a like. That's just called Leftover Pizza.
And if that wasn't enough, check us out over on the website, leftoverpizzaclub.com, where you can read all kinds of cool nostalgic articles. Might be something that you're into if you're into reading a few words that people may have written. Check it out.
Absolutely. And don't forget, we're also on Patreon. For $3 a month, you get access to our exclusive Patreon monthly bonus show. You can find us there. Patreon.com / I believe, right? Leftover Pizza Club. And if you can't remember that URL, check the show notes. You can actually go and just click through to the link right there. Super easy for you.
Absolutely. And since we're talking junk food, there's a pretty good shot that we're going to be talking a couple more items over there right now. So if you liked this show, we're just going to be talking more about it over there. And lastly, wherever you're listening to us, there's this cool little thing that they do. You can rate us. Be a pal. Help us out. Leave us a written review. If we see it in time, we will feature it on our review of the month. It's a cool thing that we're doing now. Be a part of it, man.
And we've only gotten to do it once so far. So please, stroke our egos. If you like us, write us and let us know that you do, because we're feeling real sad lately.
And with that, we appreciate you listening. I am Grimy.
Yes, you are. Oh, and I am Derek.
And you have just listened to the Leftover Pizza Podcast. Thank you, and good night. Peace and love.
I love you, McAfrica.
Oh, McAfrica.
She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry back.